Blog Talk Radio.
She did it come again. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. If you can. Now we gotta run. No more time for fun. When we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
You know, we didn't have all the facts when he came out, and we were so hungry for a lefty. And Bernie Sanders is as left as the Democrat Party has been, and he isn't even officially really a part of it. But he was a sheepdog, and when you find out everything towards the end, you find out he was a sheepdog. But what keeps us, in my view, from moving forward is the cognitive dissonance that sets in when you are let down. This is the time to take that power within you, that anger, that wish, to somewhere useful. One thing that we all have not tried is go green. We haven't. Everybody thinks, like, I could give you the situation from 2000 when Ralph Nader garnered 2.8 million votes. Immediately after that, the Mockingbird media went to war on the Green Party, media wise. Said the Green Parties can't win. They are spoilers. It goes on and on. You know what it is. They help the Republicans win. But the Democrats, they never address their issue. Now, I got some people coming in. I'm going to check and see if this 503, is this Sabrina?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, just stand by. I got to get Sabrina on here. Stand by. We'll get your call, brother. Stand by. Sabrina?
Are you talking to me, Tony?
There you go, girl.
Oh.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was just talking to the listening audience because the title of today's Catch Us If You Can is, in fact, How do we unite the left? Because, you know, we exposed the sheepdog Ocasio-Cortez. There was a lot of backlash from that. And, you know, a lot of Greens got into a bunch of fights. It was a bunch of situations that went down. So that's what I was talking to the listening audience about. And, you know, you can chime in anytime, you know, but like, so what do you think? And we got some callers in the queue because I just picked out you two. There are five people in the queue. So all you guys stand by. Anybody want to listen in, call in at 914-205-5327, and you can speak live. We'll have a conversation.
Well, there was a gentleman that you had picked up to see if it was me. Why don't you give him a chance to say something?
Well, let's get a conversation going, and then maybe the caller can chime in. The topic is how do we unite the left. What do you think, Sabrina?
Well, I mean, my views are a little different than most leftists on this. You know that I kind of think outside the left box in that we should be trying to approach all people. And I think through that we'll reach more left-thinking people than we will through, if you call speaking about race, identity politics, that's party politics to me. If we step out of the party politics, left, right, central, conservative, Democrat, all of these words, and focus on the issues, when we're not focusing on a candidate, and am I echoing on your side? Am I echoing to the listeners? I know I'm echoing a bit on my side.
No, I'm fine.
I think that the more we speak in divisive terms, the more we turn everybody away, leftist and beyond. I think the more we speak in inclusive and solution-oriented language, the more we will draw people in from all venues of life.
Yeah, but my view in that regard is I dealt with that situation, and you really have to stand, like, when, because people are going to try to convince you to do what they want you to do. You know what I mean? When you are the one who's advocating for the change, you know, and
that is a big problem. And to be honest, you just have to take each moment, because every person is going to be different and every person has an agenda, and we all have to find a way to work together.
So, like, what do you think about that? I mean, what can we do? Like, what are some things?
I think that for me, when I was speaking from anger, I was less successful than when I'm speaking from – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was saying the left needs something tangible. So, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that the left is divisive even on the terms that they use to describe themselves. The left is lost. And I don't know that the left knows how to define themselves anymore. And so, to me, again, that goes along with working outside the definitions. But to your point, in the fact that, you know, I stated in my own words that everybody does have their own agenda. You know, that's kind of what you're saying when you're going out and you're trying to make the change and you approach Joe or Jane on the street, they're going to have their own agenda, even when you're approaching them with your goals, with your hopes. And if we as humanity are going to find a better way, the base beginning of that has to be the ability to work together across cultural, racial, sexual, religious, any lines. It has to be that we can work together because we're people if we want to be successful. Because even in the left, I have just recently been in so many fights, just like you're saying, about what it is to be left or about how we're going to find the solutions that we see need finding as the left. And the fighting is the problem.
But the whole thing is that the reason why there's a fight is because the left had some standards. The Green Party was completely created because of the standards that were pushed to the side in the 80s and 90s when corporate funding became something. You know what I mean? And corporate funding
really destroyed
the
left. I've loved
really
the Green Party since I was
12.
But there's problems even within the Green Party, Tony. You and I have talked about them. You know, I don't want to cause a huge, like, stramash, but the fact of the matter is that I don't agree with some of the stances that the Colorado Green Party is taking, and so they're taking it further than the Green Party as a national party. I can no longer try to affiliate my local chapter that I'm growing with the Colorado Green Party, because as an organization, it's kind of grown a little bit big for its britches, in my personal opinion, and they're starting to dictate morality and ethics. And that's the problem whenever you get into mass organization. And that's why I'm taking a step back a little bit, and I'm going to work face-to-face, on the ground, door-to-door, because it's not, just like the Green Party, it's decentralized. The Green Party has grown so big within their bureaucracy without the seats and the governorships and the comptroller positions on the ground that they're fighting with words amongst themselves. I want to talk to people. I don't want to talk to politicians. I don't want to talk to bureaucrats. I don't want to talk to paper pushers. I want to talk to the people that are dealing with the issues caused by the paper pushers and the bureaucrats and the politicians.
Fine. Well, how we do that is people have to be willing to get involved with their local chapters. You know, if people got to set up their
Agreed.
Local tribes. You know what I mean?
I've been thinking
and
about that a lot.
Where,
I think that the people who have the energy to do that are in the colleges. And to some degree, that's a negative because they're new, they're fresh, they don't have the perspective, the experience. But they are. They're new. They're fresh. They have the energy and the idealism to go out and try that some of us who have been in the game a little bit longer are lacking. So, you know, we need to find the diehards to mentor the fresh ones.
Or if I agree with that. But the whole thing is, like, ultimately, like Billy Taylor. You know, Billy Taylor is a staunch Democrat, and he is friends with a staunch Green in New Jersey. You know, he's one of
right.
And the Green is actually one of the board of directors on, you know, for the Green News Network. So I see your point, you know, that we can bring people together and not have them, you know, as far as the rhetoric for a lot of us super Greens who are saying Green or nothing. And if you know.
Well, I still say that, though, because I'm not going to go vote for a Republican. I'm going to go vote for a Green.
Well, yeah.
But when I'm on the streets working about, you know, getting education. Education is an easy one. Every single American you probably could find to talk to on any given day would agree that our education system is failing our youth and that there is a major problem. So it's easy to get in line with that fellow Republican, that fellow Libertarian, you know. The Democrats are scary to me. I won't ever lie about that. But how are we going to accomplish anything if we can't even get together as the left?
Yeah, well, the whole thing is this, like, what the left has, and they try through TYT, right, but TYT is a part of the establishment. See, what a lot of the younger people have not experienced is controlled opposition, and I personally am in a generation that I have experienced that. And this millennial generation, Bernie Sanders is their first experience of controlled opposition. So they're torn. So it's a fight right now because of the terror, the heartache. You know what I mean? And then a lot of us older Greens are like, oh, come on, get off your ass. Let's go. This is war, you know. But
oh, it is
war.
But it's only war for those of us who are deep in the trenches. And that's where we're missing it. Because we're just preaching to the preachers.
Oh, yeah.
We're not even preaching to the choir. We're
right.
preaching to each other who already
right.
know. That's why I want to go face-to-face
right.
and door-to-door. Because when we keep
hey,
just
right.
talking to each other who already know, who are already willing to pick up that pitchfork, We're not going to get the numbers. We have to get the numbers.
That makes sense, but what we have to do is find a positive way to let everyone know that, hey, you know, it's not cool to vote for the duopoly. Granted, Trump
has done
some
good things. Well, I think that by preaching what we preach and by working together, it's both. I'm not saying to move away from our message, but we don't. When we're talking the duopoly, we're not talking the voters. We're talking the system.
Right.
And so you see the difference? That's the difference. That's the key.
Right. I understand. Hey, let's listen. Hey, Sabrina, let's take a call because two calls have dropped. And guys, don't drop. Just be patient with us. You know, we're just setting the stage so you guys can have a thought process, and whatever you want to speak, you can speak. This is a free speech zone. 914-205-5327, and you can speak live. We've got three callers in the queue. I'm going to take one of our calls, and they can join in the conversation. 1 second. 503-847, you're live. Let's see if you can with Tony and Sabrina. You have the floor. Go.
Hey, this is George Haduk Oliver from Oregon. Greetings, Tony and Sabrina.
Greetings, brother.
Hey, I just I'm super impressed with what Sabrina has been sharing and expressing. That's really sage advice, what I call. And you know, this is a crucial issue. Is how do we unite the Green Party? Because as Sabrina points out, and I think it's a very valid point, you know, we've got people all over the spectrum. I mean, there is quote-unquote so-called green libertarians. We've got folks, I mean, where are you going to lump that coalition in? Here in Oregon, we co-nominated Drew Leda, who is a libertarian. So we co-nominated. This is a unprecedented action on the part of the Pacific Green Party of Oregon, Drew Leda. So we have – he's running Libertarian. He's running Pacific Green. It's a congressional seat. So this is an effort that we are making to bring these political forces together. We also co-nominated Chris Henry. Now, Chris Henry is with an independent party. It's kind of confusing here in Oregon, but there's actually an independent party. Many people think it's nonpartisan when they mark on it, but that's a whole other argument and issue. But there is a party called the Independent Party. And so we co-nominated Chris Henry, and he's getting the co-nomination of the Oregon Progressive Party, which has been around for several years, all the way back to the Ralph Nader division. That's a whole other story I won't get into. So we're reaching out, trying to see if we can't build some bridges. But, you know, the topic of how do we unite, how do we bring together this umbrella of little pockets and factions, whatever you want to call it. Some people debate we even have factions in the Green Party. I'd love to pitch that back on YouTube. Do you believe that we've got different factions under this Green Party umbrella, or is that a myth? Back at you.
Well. David Cobb has said publicly about me that that I am a sect of the Green Party. I'm a sectarian, and I'm here for a time. But I beg to differ because I've been here since '96 when I was a young man, and now I'm got gray hair. So you know, And, well, not gray like gray, but, you know, I see it like on my sides and in my mustache and beard is coming. And I'm like, oh, no. But yeah, he said that we're a sect because want to try to build the Green Party based on dictatorial modes, which is not the case. It's just saying, stand for something, you know? If you're going to stand, if you're going to be a part of an organization or a tribe or a municipality or whatever, Senate, you know, you have to have some sort of loyalty. That is the beginning of humanity, is loyalty. That is how how do you trust your mom and dad? It's because of the loyalty they give to you. You know what I mean? And that's what it ultimately is, but not blind loyalty to where it's loyalty because of the party. No, it's loyalty because
that's
the of
key.
The person
that's
and
the key.
Party
that's
as
the key.
Well.
We have to be loyal to ourselves and our own ideals and ethics, and then look outside of ourselves. Because there is a loyalty that's needed, but you can't be blind.
And that's where I think Greens will grow. But what we have to do is we have to, like the Green News Network and all of our affiliates, we have been kicking some tail, if I do say so myself, with Deb Della Piana, you know, Furious George, Harsh Reality, you know, Ian Cram with Earn Notice Progressives. I mean, we have been moving the narrative on the left, if I do say so myself, because I'm a part of Google Analytics, and I see the left moving, like, the narrative that we have, you know, so... The thing is what I've encountered personally is that, you know, the main thing, but it's like, you know, I'm not going to gently wake you up when there's a fire. I'm going to say, get up, there's a fire, you know, and people are like, oh, you know, but that's how, but there are, but the whole thing is they take one person and then here's my question. How do we get people to understand that we are a diverse group? We are not under one thought process. Tony Smith's hardcore green thought process is not the entire Green News Network. The board of directors don't completely agree with me. This is a democracy. So what people to understand that the Green Party is the true grassroots democracy. You just got to do some work. How do we get the people to understand that? Anybody can go.
I say start at the colleges. I really do. I think that the only way to get enough people on board to grow the numbers in the first place is to start where the energy is. And the energy after Bernie from the 30 and on crowd, and I mean a 30 and on crowd, is almost gone. And so in the colleges, it's never gone. It's always there. If we reach out to the colleges and we do so by creating a nationwide network, we would be unstoppable.
I agree. But what we have to do is get past Mockingbird Media, in my view. And that's where, like the Green News Network model is incorporating affiliates. We have to all connect like the internet. You know what I mean? And I think we're doing a good job at it. And I think that we're doing a good job at being examples to younger millennials and Generation Zers, because a lot of the Generation Z people are following the Trump thing because he has a message. He is delivering on his, whether it be right-wing ideology or not, he's delivering to his constituents. What does the left do? You know what I mean? This was the Green Party is supposed to come involved. We've got two more callers. Another caller dropped out. Please, guys, just be patient. We'll definitely take your call, 914-205-5327. Not a problem. We've got about 10, 12 minutes left in the show. So let me just pull this call quick. 207-841.
Hey, that's me.
You are live. Go.
Yeah. Hi. This is my first time calling into the show.
Welcome.
A little feedbacky.
Go right ahead.
So my name is Justin, and I am with the Maine Green Party. We are running a bunch of candidates at the state rep level this year. And I wanted, I think the show so far has been great, what I've been hearing. Sorry, there's like a little bit of echo lag. Any idea how I can fix that?
I'm not sure what the echo is. I apologize about the echo. We are actively censored, so there might be some censoring going on. I do apologize if you hear that.
No worries. I'll just try to do my thing. I'm actually one of those 30 and older. I'm actually 44. I was a lifelong Democrat until 2016. I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders at the National Convention in Philly for representing Maine. And what I saw down there, I walked, I joined the Greens instantly, and I haven't looked back. So I'm doing what I can in Maine to work on the Green Party here. I'm the chair of the Portland Greens, which is the largest city in our state. I think it's really important that we consider our base to be the whole 99% that is not being represented in politics right now. And so we need to reach out to everybody. Greens that we know, independents in the state, we need to reach out to Democrats and Republicans as well. We can't exclude anybody. Socialist, we are the Socialist Party. I mean, that is legitimately on the ballot in both states. Those states where we aren't, we need to work on fusion, like with other groups. So the Socialist Party is big in Washington, for instance, and we don't have a foothold there. We need to work on a fusion slate of candidates and win with whatever means we can. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Incorruptibles, where they talk about these kind of municipal level committees that they focus on their municipal level candidates, maybe state level candidates, and their intent is to get as many progressives into office with this, whether they're a green or a socialist.
Is there a website for that you can give the listening audience?
I don't know a website for the Incorruptibles. I've just heard of this as a thing. It's based on the Richmond Progressive Alliance that Gail McLaughlin started in Richmond, California. So if you look at Richmond Progressive Alliance Incorruptibles, you'll find out more about that. But they're willing to help us, you know, progressive groups around the country on the municipal level to start building these kind of unions. And I think, you know, we do need to look at this kind of fusion and alliance building. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what Nick Brand is doing with the Movement for a People's Party, for instance. The people, progressives, are listening to Nick Brand. And we've got to consider that. If we want to compete in 2020 and in 2024, first of all, we get through our elections here in 2018. Get as many elected. Get Kenneth Mejia elected.
One second there. I have to speak up against the write-in Bernie with Nick Brand. I don't know what he's doing right at this current moment in time. But you're speaking a lot of my story, and you talk about the Bernie, the Democrat, all of that. I've loved the Green Party since I was 12, but my family are staunch Republicans and loggers, so I was encouraged to not quite go that extreme and to at least stay mainstream and go Democrat when I was a child. I did the Bernie thing. I'd already gone independent because of Obama. Then I went with Bernie and watched that entire debacle. To go with anyone speaking positively of Bernie right now is to me follow efforts that are being labeled as sheepdogging. And I don't want to alienate you. I have no knowledge of you. I love all of your message. I think it's amazing, but I have to say my knowledge about the write-in Bernie effort. And that's just what I wanted to to say. Please continue.
Okay, so Nick Brana.
Quick too.
Sure thing.
Well, let me just say something quick too. So with Maine, Portland, Maine, actually, you probably know she's one of our affiliates, Holly Seelinger.
Yeah, I know
Are
Holly
familiar?
Well. She's the secretary of our Portland
yeah.
Greens.
She's a good girl. Yeah, she's a staunch Green.
Absolutely.
Been real down. Yeah, she's awesome. So when you said that,
she's
I was like,
fantastic.
Oh, he's good people, you know, because, yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
But go ahead with your view on Nick Brandon, because here's the situation. There are a lot
yeah.
of Greens who hate all of this that you speak. Label you as a Democrat operative who wants to pull Greens to the Democrats and be the JV team.
And that's
so.
And that's
well,
absolutely not what I'm suggesting here.
But
yeah.
go ahead.
No, no.
No, that's what I'm just
so
saying.
What,
when you even
yep.
bring the names, you know, that triggers people. So I just want you to clarify and go ahead. This is
yeah.
good. Go ahead.
Okay, so a couple other thoughts. Yeah, you know, I think we need to make it the Big Ten. And, you know, part of that is we – so I've always been a bridge builder. I think we need to do that. We need to be more inclusive as a party, and we can do it. So one thing that Nick Brana and I agree with is the most successful third party in American history is the Republican Party. They were formed in the middle of the 1800s. Around the abolition of slavery, and they started off as the Free Soil Party, which was a small third party, and the two major parties at the time were the Whigs and the Democrats, and it took four presidential election cycles for them to go from worst place to first place, and they did it by forming a coalition. They changed their name from the Free Soil Party to the Republican Party. And they elected Abe Lincoln in 1860, and it transformed the country. And we can do it now. This we are on the verge of the exact same thing happening today. We just need to do it smartly. And so we do as much as we can. We win as many races as Greens in 2018. Get Kenneth Mejia elected in Los Angeles. Let's get Eve Reyes Aguilera for Senate in Arizona. Let's get Adam Davis elected in Utah as a U.S. rep. Let's get Constance Goodell Newton for governor in Ohio. Let's get Howie Hawkins in New York. Let's do as much as we can in 2018.
I hear you, brother.
We also talk with Nick Brana at the same time, and we say, hey, we want to work with you. People are listening to you. We've got a good thing going here. We've got a lot of ballot access. Let's get together, and in 2020, we'll figure out how to merge and fuse our parties and the whole thing, and then we'll be a huge, powerful force in 2020 and 2024. So we do what we can right now, 2018, winning, focusing Greens, showing that we can do it. We get some victories here. 2020, we're more organized. We're coalescing with more groups. And in 2024, we're going to be a serious force, and we can get somebody elected president. That's all I
got
to say.
We got some people
you know,
who were –
Yeah,
who
sorry.
Were,
I'll let you go.
Who were speaking –
Yvonne, can you put your name for me, sir? I'd like to get in touch with you. I really like a lot of what you're saying, and there is always that word about the co-opting and everything. I think it's myself because I have similar ideas. So we always need to be aware and talk to each other. We don't want to invite them to our papers. And so I'd like to work with you and see if we can do something positive for the Green Party together.
Absolutely. So my name is Justin Beth in Portland. My number you have, 207-841-3464. And if you shoot me a text, I'll shoot you an email, my email address and everything. And sorry, what's that?
Spell your last name for me.
Beth, B-E-T-H.
Okay. With all the,
yeah, we'll
we're both getting
you
ratings
on Facebook.
Side,
on
so
Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook. And but I will
oh, okay.
be at the national meeting this week in Utah. So hopefully you guys are
just
going to that. I'd love to meet
Utah,
you there.
Colorado. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Exactly.
Tony, would you mind writing his phone number down so that we have that since he's not on Facebook?
Yeah, no, he already said it. So this show is actually archived, so you can go back and listen towards the end of it. And he actually said the number. And I also got his number, so I'll give that to you a little on the backside, Sabrina.
Love to talk
but
with you more, for sure.
Let's get some comments from some of the people listening in, because there are some people who are commenting on some of our live streams. Kathy Thibault said, government is slavery. If you believe that government is legitimate, then you think slavery is legitimate. Does anybody have any responses to that? Go ahead.
I kind of agree,
what do you
and
think,
yet
Sabrina?
I have yet to find a solution. I don't believe in complete anarchy. I think we definitely have to move in incremental stages towards something that would be similar to anarchy if we want to protect our children and our elders and our environment and all of these things we all
Am I still on?
Yeah, I kind of. Yeah, you're on. You're on too, Tyler, the other caller. Oliver.
I
think Oliver.
This is Justin again, and I would say government it enslaves us absolutely, but that's only because we've allowed them to enslave us. And we can change that.
Yeah.
If we practice electoral activism.
I call it vigilante voters.
Agreed.
Vigilante voter? Yeah, I like it.
Go ahead, Sabrina.
The other day that it was not a good idea for them to label vigilantes in such a bad light. If they were to cast vigilantes in such a bad light, we need to look over our history. Our entire expansion as a nation was built on vigilantism. So they do it today with
right.
neighborhood watches. It's just government stamped.
Right.
You know, everything is taxed. You
yeah.
know, it used to be taxes were the stamps. Stamps used to be a tax. They don't say the same language
yeah.
anymore, but it is still all the same. And so getting that government approval
Indeed.
Is getting that stamp, is getting that tax.
Indeed. Well said. This is awesome. We're about out of time, you guys, so we're going to have to close the show out. For the left, hope you guys enjoyed the show. They're going to do this possibly monthly. It depends on the situation. I got a lot of other shows to do as well. So one of listening in via all of our social media sites, all of our live streams. Here on Blog Talk, we actually are like averaging like 1,000 people. There are 296 people listening in to the show. So I want to thank all you guys for listening in. And that's probably from the other show we did, so people are coming back. So I want to thank you guys. Have any final let's get our caller, see if he wants to have any final words and then final statement after that, Sabrina, and then we'll close the show. But caller, what did you have a final statement you want to give to our listening audience based on your thought process? You have the floor, my friend.
Is that me, Justin? Yeah, I just want to say
yes,
thank you.
Justin.
I want to thank everybody out there that's agreeing and doing their part. And, you know, we all do our parts, and we, you know, just don't lose hope. We can do
don't
it. You know, we just need to be honest and reach out to people and share the message that we see. Let's all share a vision of us winning in 2020 or 2024. And we can work out the
all
details
right.
in the meantime. Okay? Love it.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
I'm willing to do that. All right. I'm willing to meet. Sabrina, you have the final word, darling, and we're going to go ahead and close the show.
Well, thank you, Tony, for hosting, and thank you both George and Justin for calling in. I think that this was a very productive conversation. It gladdens my heart to hear people wanting to reach out beyond their own, as you put it so eloquently so many times, Tony, and I apologize, I'm right by a little country road that was a motorcycle. There's just a consensus that we want to reach out to our fellow man beyond that tribe, as you put it. And I am very appreciative of their time and your time and all of our listeners.
All right. Well, I want to thank all our listeners for listening in. I want to thank all you guys for coming in by the thousands on Blog Talk. But if you could kind of spread that out to Facebook and YouTube so they can quit censoring us, because everybody piles into Blog Talk and Pal Talk. And I know because a lot of you guys have been with us for 2 years, so I know why you pile into those two sites. But kind of spread it out if you guys could. We love you all. Thank you for listening in. So with that, I hope everybody enjoyed the show until we meet again at the appointed time. Good night, everybody.
Here they come again. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. 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 Now we gotta run. No more time for fun. When we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
Catch us if you can.